The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
All right, folks, and we are back here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. It is Silver Fox time. He is in the studio. It is time for the segment that has become known as the Michigan Football Breakdown with Joe Simon, Joseph A. Simon. I talk about the law offices of Joseph A. Simon a ton here on this show every day during the recruiting roundup. Certainly you hear us talk about Joe during the strategy recap on Monday and then the preview on Wednesday. And then he is here in studio to help us break down these clips on Friday. And he is right here with us now. Joe, before we get into football, though, because we are always talking football, and I think people get the impression that you're spending all your time on football. That is not true. This is your free time. You're spending what little free time you have breaking down football for the fans. But the majority of your time, the law offices of Joseph A. Simon tell people all about TheMichiganDefenders.com.
Thanks, Sam. Sam, you're exactly right. We're a boutique criminal defense firm. It means all we do is criminal defense. That's 24/7. I don't mean to steal your 24/7 sports there, but misdemeanor to felony, no matter how big nor how small, Washtenaw County primarily, all surrounding counties. Sam, I spend my time on this segment starting about 10 p.m. at night after a very full day of work.
Yeah, man.
And it drains a lot out of me, but here we go. I'm ready to go and talk a little football. That's our great distraction.
And so for people who want to get in contact with you, they need your services, how can they find you?
TheMichiganDefenders.com, where we're located right across the street from Michigan Football Stadium, and 734-887-6200.
All right. So for the purposes of this segment or these segments, you want to go to TheMichiganDefenders.com, even if you don't need a legal defense attorney, right? Because if you want to follow along with the plays, they are all posted on Joe's website. So go to TheMichiganDefenders.com right now and get on those videos, and we will go through them one by one today. One of the big topics of conversation this week, Joe, has been on the the absence of as many quarterback runs in this game as we saw in week one, and trying to talk about the reasons why, and talking about where there may have been some misreads on the field by the quarterbacks. Shea Patterson mostly, Dylan McCaffrey was in there some too, and so you focus on this with a couple of plays. So let's start off first with the clip that you dubbed Misread One. Take us through that one.
Sam, I'm not only going to talk about that clip, but I also want to point out that misreads can be both in not pulling the ball and pulling the ball. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really want to talk about is not a clip that's entitled Wrongful Pull, which I also consider a misread. But to your point on the misread one, this is first and 10. It's 7-0 first quarter, 4:53 left in the game. We're on our own 30. In this clip, Sam, the coaching points for when you pull, when you don't pull, vary from coach to coach. But I've highlighted the hips of the defensive end, who's the read there. Some coaches will coach the shoulder. Some will say the eyes. I've always believed it's the hips, because lower extremities are much harder to turn than upper extremities. And in that, the end that who he's reading, his hips are turned in. That's the cue. That's the cue to he can't. You're talking about half a second to a second to make an adjustment. It's very hard to rotate the body and chase the quarterback. I think that's a misread there. That should have been a pull.
It's a huge misread. And you're going to have Ronnie Bell on a crack there. That's a big run play. I mean, he's probably going to pick up 10 yards at least on that play. So that I agree. That's a huge misread.
The other one I want to point out, Sam, is in misread two.
All right. Hold on. Let me get out of this one so I can get to misread two. All right, folks. Again, if you aren't on the website, go to themichigandefenders.com and let's kind of talk people through this, Joe.
This is 14-7 Army. It's in the third quarter. We have 5 minutes left. We're on about midfield. And in this one, it's similar. It's harder to see, but I'm highlighting the end, the read here, too. I think that the problem with this, you may not say at the time of exchange this was a misread, but I think that should have been written a little longer. I think that mesh point should have lasted about another half a second. I think the read was premature, more than a misread, if you will, mm-hmm. because he has a blocker in front and nothing but daylight to go. I think that's a miss.
Yeah, we talked about this play, and I see what you're getting at. See, there's an exchange on the outside. The end does crash, and he's replaced by the linebacker back there. And so, you know, to your point, maybe Shea saw the two guys to the outside and gave, because there are two guys to the outside. If he rides it longer, maybe that sucks that other inside guy in more and allows him to get outside. But giving on that play, seeing two guys outside, I think that explains why he did it. But could he have beaten it? Like, so I agree with you, not necessarily a misread, but could he have beaten it by riding it a little longer? Possibly.
Yeah, I think so. I'd really like to focus, though, on the big one, the one I've been waiting to talk about all week. It's called, I've labeled it wrongful pull. I probably should have labeled this misread three, because, you know, misreads aren't just when you should pull. It's also when you do pull. This is a game such this play, I believe, deserves a lot of attention. This is at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. We are trailing 14-7. There are 8 seconds left. We have one timeout. It's 3rd and 4. We are on their 27-yard line. There are so many significant things about this play, Sam. The first thing is, this is a designed running play. I will back this up as a good lawyer with evidence. The second thing about this is not an RPO. It's not an RPO because you have no receiver who will look for the ball.
Oh, yeah. It's not an RPO.
And you have linemen 5 yards down the field blocking. Mm-hmm. This is not an RPO.
Yeah, even if it wasn't grounding, if he got in past the line of scrimmage, it's ineligible downfield. It's
Agree.
A penalty either way.
Agree. So this is a called run, okay? Number one, there are 8 seconds left. Calling a run with 8 seconds left is dangerous, because there are a lot of things that can happen in game action that can eat. What if your running back had stood up or something like that? That's a dangerous thing to do. I'm not saying that you couldn't have spiked it. You have a timeout left. Maybe you got a first down. But that's just tough. The second thing about this that I find so remarkable is, if you go through the play, I highlight the receivers to show that they are, I highlight first the end to be red, and then I also highlight the receivers to show, and the linemen eventually, this is totally a designed run. Shea pulls this ball. Mm-hmm. He pulls the ball. No one's crashing. They're there. That is... The questions I have about the play are, number one, if you're going to run, are you trying to center the ball for a field goal? Is that the intention? No. And number two, if that is the intention, why pull it at all? And number three, why pull it when that is really not even close to a correct read?
So a couple of things to me on this play. I think he was reading the end and playing off the end, not expecting that corner to blitz, because he pulled into a corner blitz. Now, I really give Army a lot of credit for this one. I mean, you know, we talked about the you know, misreads or not holding it long enough in the second clip that you showed. And this one, Joe, I'm going to cut Shea a little. I'm going to cut him some slack on this one. Now, I don't know if they saw this look in practice, so let me be clear. This could have been something that Army put on film.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I haven't watched a lot of Army to know, but I think pre-snap, he looks at this and he says, that corner's not blitzing. They have a one high look. Most teams, I don't know anyone that is going to allow the corner to blitz, and you don't have any coverage over the top. So I think he saw that. He saw the corner. He saw the end crash, and he pulled it thinking he was going to have the corner. But it was a very, very good disguise by Army, because they had their linebacker buzz out to cover the receiver, and at post-snap, they go into a cover two. And so I could see how pre-snap, you don't think that corner is going to blitz, and they caught him. They caught him with that blitz.
Here's why I'm not buying that, Sam. It's the down the distance in the game situation. If he really was going to pull, let's say he made the correct read to pull, he's dangerous of running the clock out right there. And this seems to me to be a totally designed run, maybe to set the field goal, and if they get a first down, maybe they do something a little differently. I don't know. There's no reason for him to pull there. If the intention of the play is to get the ball in better position of the field goal, that is just an ill-advised thing to do, whether he's reading or not.
Oh, I hear you on that. I hear you on that. I think at the very least, he's thinking he could get around the corner and get out of bounds. If not, get down and call the timeout. But again, they caught him with that corner blitz. And maybe they had this on tape, and maybe it's a bigger mistake than I'm suggesting it to be right now, because it's something they saw. But just by the look that Army gave him on this play, I'm like, man, that's pretty good design by pretty good disguise by the Army defense there.
You're correct, and that wreaked havoc on our team in more than one occasion. And here's the thing about that, Sam. You know, coming into this game or after the game, when I was sorting my thoughts, my big question was, is this all there is? And what I mean by that, and not referring to the cheesy 1960s song, is that all there is? But what I mean is, The offense that we were talking about coming into this season, I thought was going to be far more diverse than a single formation with the limitations of protections that we've had. Other than Sam, approximately 5 to 7 plays, individual plays from scrimmage, we have been in our base zone read formation in the spread with our base protection, with the limited protections that affords the offset back and our spread formation. And I'm not kidding. Other than about 5 plays, when we were coming into the season and we were talking about pro spread, And why I mention this, Sam, is it goes to your point about that corner blitz, why it was so effective against us. We were talking about pro spread. I believed, who knows, I believed that that was going to be much more than that. I believed we were going to be 2x2. You know, we talked last year, they never went 2x2. I think we've done it once this year. We did it against Middle Tennessee State. I don't know that we did it more than once. We did it 0 times in this game. I thought we were going to have different formations, more varied. I thought we were going to have some heavy packages for our short yardage game, which we, by the way, did one time in this game. I've got that highlight. I want to talk about that. But instead, we've been really, really confined. And maybe that's a coaching decision. Maybe they don't want to show more. But
I think from a short yardage perspective, it is interesting that they pulled out, you know, some of the old look. I felt like this is the last vestige of what they were formationally, I thought. But I feel like, you know, as far as the passing game is concerned, you know, I feel like, man, you know, as far when they go 4 wide, which we saw in this game.
No.
We didn't.
Well, no.
Four verts.
Four wide.
Yeah,
right.
But 4 verts.
Right.
You got the tight end in
right.
at that time.
Right.
That is pretty effective for them.
Okay, Sam, it is and it isn't, because it has the limitations of the protections. You know, everyone's complimenting Zach Charbonnet for all his great pickups. So am I. The problem with that is because he's the only guy back there. And that's the limitations of those protections.
I said, where do you want to go? Which clip do you want to go to next?
I'm trying to find it where it is. The second fumble, I believe. It's entitled
Okay, second fumble.
And this is a good illustration of what you're talking about, I believe, because you have, first of all, let me comment about this play. This is, you know, one of the limitations of the offense that I've seen is that we are, I thought we would be adjusting more at the line of scrimmage than we are. We seem to be going with the play called. I also thought there would be more things happening post-snap than there are. We were told first, second, third level reads, and in this play, which first and 10, I think we've just gotten a fumble recovered from them. We're on their 21. This is not Shea's fault. He gets blindsided here, mm-hmm. but I want to talk about the limitations of the play. In this protection, and here's your corner blitz, Sam, here's your corner blitz, mm-hmm. you have limitations. You have really one running back who is accountable for that kind of a thing. This play is a late developing play. We are going vertical. We've got a guy who's going to be wide open for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Here's what bothers me about the limitations of the protection. Number one, you only have one person accountable, and, you know, he doesn't make a play. Okay, that happens in football. I can't criticize anyone for that. I mean, you know, you can criticize the back, but, you know, he's trying his best. But there, in the route itself, I'd like to think that Bell, when he sees the corner blitz, that he's adjusting. I'd like to think adjusting his route correctly. He's coming across in a very short drag, and that I think is the correct thing to do. Or he digs on the sideline, you know, where the corner blitz came from. I'm wondering, is that in our package? Is our guy reading blitz? Is he saying I'm adjusting my mount route meeting blitz? I actually don't think he is. Shea doesn't see it. Now, okay, he's not God. You can't see 180 degrees all the time around your head. But there's really no in-game adjustment. So we do have the vertical game you're talking about. But when you are in that formation, you have limitations in protection.
So and we need to get to a break here. So I guess my question to you, Joe, is at what point in your offensive play calling, do you have a play that calls for, you know, that relies on the blitz being picked up and it's okay, and it's okay to have it? When is that an okay decision in Joe's world? Because what I would say is this: you got two, you have one guy whose responsibility it is to pick up that blitzing corner, and you got another guy whose responsibility it wasn't, but because he's blocking no one, could have picked it up too. And so what I see here is two redshirt freshmen. And if one of those guys is True Wilson, if one of those guys is John Runyon, I think there's a good chance that that's picked up, because, you know, the end isn't pressuring there. And so you wind up with Ryan Hayes not blocking anyone, and with a wider set, he could have helped on that. Of course, you got a redshirt freshman in Christian Turner, who sets too far up in a formation and allows the corner to be gotten, and two guys wind up letting one guy get through. When is that the issue more than the play design?
I want to answer more broadly than one given play, because we can always have an error on one given play, and I don't want people to accuse me of saying I make it all about one play. No, I make one play the illustration of the broader point. We got to remember why the spread offense was born, Sam. It was born to be an equalizer against a superior talent, and also to create mismatches for young people who may make mistakes. The things we aren't doing here, if we are going to be this confined offense, here are the features of this offense you see elsewhere. You see tempo. We haven't been tempo. You see multiple formations. We haven't been that multiple. You see quicker strike game to account for blitzes. We were not that quick strike. If you have people that you have a tackle that's injured, if you have young people out there making your protections, if you have limited protections, is it wise to be later developing plays? And the other thing that we haven't seen yet is we haven't really seen the what I'll call first level, second level, third level reads that Coach was talking about coming in, at least not yet. That means adjustments in post-snap adjustments. So those are the equalizers.
All right, let's get to a break. We'll come back on the other side and pick this discussion up from this point. We got Joe Simon, the strategy breakdown. Stay tuned for more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.